Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and I'd like to ask you, so what are you really worth? I mean, you, inside you. I'm not talking about your bank account. But who are you? What is your self-worth? And what is your knowing about you? And who are you? And what are you? These are deep questions in life, that the more we can solve them, perhaps the happier we can be, and maybe even be of more benefit to ourselves and others. So to help us know these answers is the author of a new book called The Book of Knowing and Worth. And it's a channeled text. And the author, along with his helpers who channel through him, but they have chosen this author because he's a great voice for them. And that's Paul Selig. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Peter.
I'm so glad that you could be on Energy Stew because your work is reaching a lot of people. I'm very entranced by it. Mm-hmm. I think the words that work through you are so meaningful to me, and I believe they will be to our audience. And I've loved reading this book because it puts into such succinct understanding the nature that we want to attain to and love ourselves more within.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're a great person to be introducing this to the world.
Thank you so much.
So, what what's interesting in reading the book is that these spirits, and you've been on the show before, and mm-hmm. we've even heard from your spirits on the show, but in the book, often they're actually teaching you too.
Mm-hmm.
They're speaking directly to you.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, Paul, listen up, because you need this. Mm-hmm. And I certainly listened up a lot myself to everything they said, because I need it as well. And so it's been a benefit in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you've authored other books before,
mm-hmm.
and the original one was called The Word,
mm-hmm.
and you must have learned a lot from them.
Well, I'm their student. I mean, I'm the radio that supports the broadcast. I feel that I'm participatory to the teachings and that I'm being used, you know, as a vehicle, and I'm often referenced. But, you know, I'm not always the best student, I think, of the guide's work. I do my best.
And perhaps nobody can be.
You know, I think somebody else can be. I mean, my biggest challenge with what I do is that it's coming through me, you know, that this information is being rendered through me and through my system, and I feel like I am not there yet, and so I'm participatory to the teachings. I actually do work with them. It's not like I'm ignoring them, but I often feel like I haven't arrived yet, so who the hell am I to be bringing this information through? I mean, they do take the opportunity in all of the books, and I think in this one, in a slightly different way, to call me to task, because the rule with all of the books, truthfully, is that I can't edit them. So the books themselves are the transcripts of the channeling sessions, and that also means that when I am not trusting the information that's coming through, or I'm pulling back from it because I'm wary, it has to be countered. In some ways, it has to be addressed if I'm to continue to be an effective channel. There's one chapter in this book, and I was having a really rough day before the channeling session, and Victoria Nelson, who has been, you know, she's been on the phone for all three books as sort of an active listener as the sessions were happening, was in the same room as me, which was a rare occurrence. And I think she made a noise towards the beginning of the channeling, and I jumped out of my skin. And the guides actually had to sort of say, okay, listen, We have to handle this in order to be able to move forward. And in that moment, I think they actually had to restructure the entire book. They had a lesson plan, clearly, that wasn't quite going to happen on that day. And they ended up really using it as an opportunity to sort of talk to me about my own anger, you know, and my own stuff. And then, you know, it's woven into the book now because there was nothing else to do unless I broke the rules and decided that it wasn't really a chapter.
And maybe that's what makes you more of a perfect vehicle for them to work with you, is that you help them, you help guide them, actually, through the human experience of limitations that they're helping us overcome.
I hope there's a good reason. You know, I don't consider myself to be a spiritual teacher, and I, God forbid, anybody should ever call me a guru. I mean, what I am is a channel, and I'm a conscious channel, and I'm an empath or a clairsentient and a psychic, you know. And in addition to that, I have another life as an academic. I run a graduate program still. I've had a very normal life in many ways that has gone concurrently with my own development and searching as a psychic. But, you know, the why me question, something that I've asked, I've gotten some information on it, but I think that I don't have an enormous investment in being right with this stuff, you know?
Exactly.
Which is a bit of a relief, because I can say, this is what I'm getting. I don't know what I think about it either, but this is what's coming through.
Well, then you might say, okay, so because you don't have a big ego about it, it makes you more receptive. But then again, it's your ego that's creating this sense of limitation in you.
I agree.
So there is an ego involved on the more on the limitation side of worry, mm-hmm. and your own emotional stuff, rather than the ego of grandiosity.
Yeah. I think there's truth to that, and I do think, you know, I do think that there's a level of claiming of ability that I would still benefit from doing, because there'd be more joy. You know, I've been a college teacher for most of my life, and I enjoy the hell out of teaching college, you know, even though I may be moving beyond that, you know, in some ways, because this work is sort of taking up more of my time. But I never downplayed my ability as a teacher.
And what is it you teach in college?
I was teaching playwriting. You know, okay. I was a playwright when I went to, you know, I went to school for it. I had a little career as a playwright, and I taught playwriting for many years, and now I run a graduate program. So I don't want there to be false humility about this thing. The reality is I don't quite understand it. You know, I don't understand how this whole thing works. I know that when I'm working as a psychic and I tune into somebody and they ask about their sister or their husband or their wife, and I tune into that other person, I can physically begin to resemble them and then hear them telepathically. It's a phenomena that's documentable. You know, it's been filmed. I don't know why I work at that level of sort of physical mediumship. Who knew? I didn't know that I could do it until I was doing it. But I like that because it's so sort of scientifically something that you can confirm. Channeling as a phenomena is an odd thing, you know, and the fruits of my work are these three books and all of the energy that comes through when I work with groups. I mean, the guides that I work with come through with energy that's extraordinarily palpable for people. And so very often people that have never had an experience with phenomena are able to have an experience that they can claim, and my guides would probably say no, K-N-O-W. Once you can know it, you can claim it as your own, and you're no longer deferring authority. You know, some of the hesitation you may hear from me is that as I begin to get a little more known with this work, people are more than happy to throw all their authority at me, and I don't want any of it. You know, my guide's whole message, frankly, is for people to be in their own, to claim their own dominion, to claim, the guides would say, their own divine inheritance.
And yet, you have a responsibility of delivering this that is in itself the authority. And so you are the authority of the deliverer. Mm-hmm. You might not be the authority of the information itself.
No, I'm in responsibility as the deliverer, yes. And I'm participatory to the information, yes. I'm not the expert on the information. But what I'm not interested in doing is having, you know, somebody to defer to me. The whole teaching of the book is for people to begin to claim their own knowing. And the guides deliver a teaching, I hope, that's about people being able to access themselves in yes, a deeper way.
For sure. And that's the point of the book, is to access the greater part of ourselves, mm-hmm. and be able to differentiate that greater part with, let's call it, the lesser part of ourselves, uh-huh. which is based on ego and mm-hmm. on conditioning in life, uh-huh. and in ways that we might make choices that don't serve our higher self.
Exactly right.
And so I love this book because it reminds me so much of what I need to pay attention to, mm-hmm. and how I need to discern who I am. Because it's the book of knowing, so it's knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and there's an initial three-part phrase that they start off with is, I know who I am, I know what I am, and I know what I'm here for.
I know how I serve.
I know how I serve, uh-huh. which is the same as I know what I'm here for, mm-hmm. which is to be the unique spark of God that mm-hmm. we all are.
Exactly.
And so I love that. And then climbing into the book, it's really the dissemination of what that all means, mm-hmm. And I think we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you as a deliverer of it, mm-hmm. certainly know the
sure.
information.
I do.
And so to know who we are mm-hmm. is the first thing.
Yeah.
And that's the greater self.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, the guides say that who we are, who each one of us is an aspect of the Creator. And so when with the claim, I know who I am, they're in many ways reframing our sense of self-identification from the personality self to the divine self. Because they always say, you know, you are who you say you are. And your experience really will reflect that. So if you say, I'm the one who never gets what he wants, or I'm the one with a bad marriage, or I'm the one that can't lose the weight, that essentially is your participatory claim to your reality. And your reality, of course, will go into agreement with that. So when they ask us to say, I know who I am, if they say it's a claim of truth, these things aren't affirmations, you know, they're not mantras, they're claims of truth, which the guides say, which means they're always true, regardless of what we think. You know, the aspect of that statement, I know who I am, is the divine self.
And that's because we are the Word.
That's right.
And our Word is our truth. And we speak that it's a holy Word. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it can create very unholy feelings in ourselves, mm-hmm. because that's, as a human experience, we're really here to struggle through knowing ourselves or discovering ourselves in a higher way, mm-hmm. but it comes with a lot of suffering.
It can. You know, my path hasn't been, you know, an easy one necessarily.
But I don't know that anybody can say that.
I don't think anybody can. I do think, though, that there are frames that we attend to and we create through, which, you know, sort of it's our own attachment to the stuff that gets in the way that causes the uncomfortability or the pain.
Exactly, and we don't want to be the Word of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, one of the things my guides say sometimes when they teach is, you know, if you look at something in your life that's not working, you have to ask yourself what you're getting back from it, because there's usually something. You're usually affirming some belief, like it never works out for me, and then it doesn't work out, and you get to be right.
Well, I think it's a survival mechanism, mm-hmm. is that it's never worked for you, and you're still alive, so maybe it shouldn't keep working for you, so you can still stay alive.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I do. I mean, I think there's a dividend, they say, that, you know, we get back from everything we put out, like it or not. There's something we're still getting back.
Right. And sometimes it's just keeping things the same.
Yeah, very much so.
Right.
Well, that's what they say. You know, they talk about frames in this book, and, you know, and a lot more and more when they teach, they talk about that. But they talk about a frame as a construct, and we all have these frames, and that essentially we fill them with what we expect to be there. you know, which is who we think we're supposed to be or who we were told we are. And what they're asking us to do is claim, you know, the higher or the larger or the greater self that doesn't adhere and isn't confined by those frames, because then consequently what we can begin to fill it with is in recognition of our divine worth, of who we truly are.
But we have to believe in that and trust in that, and that's what I feel this book goes about working through.
Good.
Because it gives us the opportunity to move out of our own way by knowing better. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's not a constant. It's not like you can read this book and all of a sudden you're self-realized and you never have any trouble anymore. Mm-hmm. We know that doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
And yet, we do know better. And because we know better, then we're never as deeply caught. We might be really annoyed, but we're annoyed that we do know better and we're still playing the same old games, and we know we don't need to.
Yeah.
We just don't always know how to get out of it because of our survival, our habits. Mm-hmm. It's hard to break old habits.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, you know, the guides say that the books, this book and the two that preceded it, work on two different levels. You know, they're the words in the page, which is the intellectual information that we need to be able to sort of comprehend and have some relationship with the journey that we're on. And then there's the energetic transmission that actually is informing the language. And they say that that's the real book. The real book is the energy of the book that's actually working directly on the reader. And actually, I think more in this book than the others, and I was sort of surprised when they said it, they really talked about how they're sponsoring the readers through the passage, you know, if they wish it, you know, to be worked, you know, so there's some support along the way. Because I can read anything and throw the book across the room, and I can read anything and put it away. But, I mean, I think that the hope is that this is part of a journey, you know, for people, and it's moving beyond just the intellectual ideas.
It's a transmission.
Yeah, exactly.
And I found that reading the Bhagavad Gita, so to have that and feel that in this as well,
wow,
I think is very powerful.
Yeah, you know, when I first finished, you know, transcribing the book, because it was all on my laptop, you know, I'd, you know, record and then I'd transcribe the sessions and then it would get proofed by somebody else and I'd go back. But the first time the whole thing was printed out and I picked up the book and I could feel the potency of it. I mean, I was sort of shocked. I mean, the energy was just sort of pouring off it. And, you know, I've run into people that said, you know, I'm holding the book and it's just sort of alive. And that seems to be the way it works. So I'm pleased for that. I always do, you know, truthfully trust the energy that comes through with the work. It's a loving energy and it's pretty potent.
Well, I think the point of it is that it's about knowing. Mm-hmm. And knowing is different than thinking.
Absolutely.
And so knowing reaches at this to the soul level.
Yes.
And that's why there's a sense that your soul has read this, mm-hmm, not just your mind.
Yes.
And that's where the activation is. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful to experience. And I remember in the middle of your book, you know, having these experiences and all of a sudden being faced with some choices to make or some senses of limitation and watching myself and going, oh, now I'm being presented with the choice to make between what I just received, mm-hmm, and how I know myself better, mm-hmm, and watching my ego go to work, you know, trying to attack that.
Yes.
And it was an interesting dance that was going on. Mm-hmm. But the dance was happening. Mm-hmm. It wasn't previous. The dance might have been maybe too quick, so you couldn't call it a dance.
Understood. Yeah.
So there's an ongoing recognition of knowing better.
Yeah.
And also watching yourself not know better. Mm-hmm. And I guess we keep doing that more and more, or maybe less and less, but maybe only more and more to the point where it's quicker and quicker and we can get to the other side of it faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then settle into trust. Mm-hmm. And I know from my own personal experience that I have trouble trusting, mm-hmm. And people laugh at me all the time when mm-hmm. I tell them what I worry about, because mm-hmm. they have looked at my life and seen that it's been taken care of.
Yeah.
So I should be very trusting because I've been taken care of. And I imagine you too.
Very much so. You know, I was teaching or channeling a group in Santa Fe last weekend. And, you know, occasionally the guides will call me out in a group, you know, on something. And they say, you know, I can choose not to trust. But they said, if you look at your life, you know, we've delivered 3 books through you that required no editing. You have all of this work coming to you now. Why would you think that you're not being taken care of? You've been, you know, and it's really true. I've been given so much evidence. And, you know, because I'm still, like, attached to, you know, should I go back and teach next semester? Should I go back and should I go, you know, take these opportunities that are going to take me away from, you know, a job I've had for 25 years, you know? And, you know, I've been getting these teachings now. I mean, they've been coming pretty much for 2 years, pretty consistently, about allowing change, you know, and how so much of what we're attending to right now are things that we've all created at times in our lives or at different levels of consciousness that we may be at now. And we've come to self-identify as those things that we've created as who we are. But the binding to those things actually sort of is a way to keep us from going forward or going higher, you know. So I get the message. It's just not always comfortable.
Right. And I guess they need to, in a sense, be clearer about what their future purposes are for you, or maybe not. Maybe part of the book is, in the knowing, mm-hmm. is to trust that we don't know.
Yeah.
But we don't know, and we will know it when we will know it.
Yeah, that's part of it as well. And it really is about now, you know. It really is about sort of being. I mean, when they say, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, they say that that's essentially an attunement that brings your frequency back into present time. And they say that's the only time you can know anything. You can't know tomorrow. You didn't know yesterday. You can only know in the now. So when you're present, you can make that choice. And all the times that I spend, because I'm a warrior too, sort of throwing myself 2 years down the road or next month and what's going to happen with this or what's going to happen with that, I'm actually operating not in my knowing. I'm in presupposition or fear. I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm not in my knowing.
And what's exciting is that you're attracting a very large audience because you have a very unique presentation. Mm-hmm. The way that the spirits actually speak through you is unique. Mm-hmm. And people feel it, they get it, because they're there watching it happen.
Yeah.
And there's a mystery mm-hmm. of the universe, of the way you operate with them, mm-hmm. that attracts a lot of people.
Well, you know, in the groups, you know, I mean, most people know me through the books and, you know, because the books are out there and you can hold the books and read them as if they were books that were somebody sat down and wrote. And that wasn't the case. I mean, there's audio tapes of all these things. And occasionally people have read the books will stumble upon a video of me channeling and be a little horrified. Because they assume that the whole thing came out very gracefully, and I'm not a graceful channel. You know, and I'll just explain this for your listeners who just don't know how I work. But when I hear, I'm whispering the words as they come, which is the direct transmission, and then I'm repeating it in a louder voice. And I've worked this way for a long time. And I'm usually on my feet, and the accent that's coming through these days is something, I don't know, Welsh, Irish, I don't know what the heck it is, but it's booming and glorious and joyful. And I'm actually rather shy, truthfully, and a little reserved, you know. But, and so it's a really sort of, and then the energy is just sort of like through the roof. And so, you know, occasionally, you know, I'll sit down, when I do a group, I'll sort of explain who I am, And then I'll see if I can hear. And the next thing I know, I'm essentially being thrown out of the chair into the middle of the floor. And my arms are going, and the teaching is just going a mile a minute. And occasionally I'll open my eyes and I'll see people sort of looking fairly horrified or aghast or stunned or amazed, you know, because it's not a normal kind of thing. And then once they get it, they get it. What's happening more and more, and I've been noticing this in the last few workshops that I've done, is my guides are actually working with me to work a bit more directly. I did a workshop in Charlotte, in Asheville, North Carolina, about a month ago, and I was doing this one session, and the transmission, which is usually rapid fire, slowed way, way down to like a record that was played on the wrong speed. And I'm going, what the heck is going on here? But that's how the delivery was coming. And then the next thing I knew, there was no repeat. And then the energy was just kaboom. So I think they're trying to work with my system. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that. Because to be honest with you, even though the whispering repeating is comfortable for me because it's the way that I've worked and the way the books have been delivered, it actually takes twice as much energy.
Sure.
Because I'm just always, I mean, it's repeating. Like running a marathon. Just crazy. And I channel, you know, sometimes for 5 days at a time, mm-hmm. you know, and 5 hours a day or 6 hours a day. And so the expenditure of energy is astonishing. A two-hour group is a luxury for me these days because that's easy to do, but very often I'm doing these workshops or these retreats, and they just, you know, or the books. And when the books come, I mean, that's just marathon, you know, mm-hmm. because sometimes they'll deliver a whole chapter in a sitting, you know, and then you're going, what the hell was that, you know? And there's always the fear, truthfully, with the book transmissions because, you know, the rule has been I can't edit. That if they say something that makes absolutely no sense, you know, like the moon is made of green cheese, there goes the book. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? There goes the whole trilogy, goes out the window. I mean, what do you do? So there's always been this sense, and I say this frequently, it's a lot like standing on a diving board and jumping and trusting or having to trust that there's something in the pool because you can't see it.
Yeah.
You got to trust that the water's in the pool. And so far, thank God, it has been.
Yeah, and that's how my intuition works, too. I sit down with people. I have no idea what I'm going to hear.
Yeah.
And then I have to give them the information mm-hmm. that I'm hearing. And, you know, I've had to say things to people that sometimes I think are outrageous and they should just, you know, punch me in the face. Instead, they look at me and they go, how did you know that?
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
That how this works. And so I guess once we are people who actually have this higher guidance that has proven itself so many times, we really need to surrender. And yet everybody is working with higher guidance.
I believe that.
And because of that, we should all surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the wholeness, not only of the guidance, but also of who we are in spirit with them.
Mm-hmm.
And how blessed it all is, and to really trust the divine order,
mm-hmm.
and that's so much about the phraseology of that comes with your book,
mm-hmm.
is you know, I know who I am, I know what I am, and
I know how I serve.
I know how I serve. So what I need to do is to serve in the spirit of trust and belief in this higher divine order.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to live in the knowing, not the mind, but the knowing, the awareness, let's call
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
of the greater mind. So it is a mind, but it's a greater mind.
Yeah.
And to really mm-hmm. seek that out more
mm-hmm.
than our survival protective mind.
Yes, I agree.
And that's really what so much of what people can get out of this book mm-hmm. as a transmission in a way that can activate it more in mm-hmm. their lives.
I hope so. I think that's the intent for the book.
So we have only about a minute left
okay.
in the show, and it's so wonderful to talk with you, and I think the audience will really, I think, be helped by understanding the journey that you're on uh-huh. and how this teaching is something that you're dancing with
mm-hmm.
and how they can dance with it uh-huh. themselves and grow through it rather than the expectation that somebody is just going to miraculously change something that mm-hmm. They won't even know themselves as.
Yes.
Instead, they it's something that you can know yourself in a different way, but in a way that will allow the old self to lose its power.
Correct.
Yeah. So, Paul Selig, how can people find you or your books?
My website's paulselig.com, which is PaulSelig. There's an active calendar for workshops and events, and the books are on Amazon. You can get them through my website, and I'm on Facebook. So there's lots of ways to reach me.
That's great. Paul, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. Thank you so much for listening.